Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Now, if you'll remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about peace, about God's peace, about how during the Christmas season, we get to have peace. And that's what this candle represents, the peace of God, even in the midst of conflict, even in the midst of all the things going on. We have peace. Today, what we're going to talk about is the love of God. That Christmas is a time of God's love and of sharing that love for us. Because God loved the world that He gave.
Love. Love. I know a little bit. Oh, I know. I look somewhat old, but there was a time. Well, my parents were not worried that I would become an old maiden, let us just say. But I jumped too far ahead. Love. The first I recall of that, I was just a wee child. I was with my mother on her lap, and she was holding me and humming and singing. Ah, that was love. And she would whisper in my ear and squeeze me and say, "I love you." That was love. And then one day I reached up and I squeezed her back and I said, "I love you." And it felt even better. Oh, that was love. When I was a little bit older, I realized that we had neighbors. We had neighbors, and they had a little girl like me. And we were friends. We played together. We did our chores together. We did everything together. If we weren't together, we were thinking about when we would be together and what we would do. Oh, we laughed together, we cried together, we told each other everything, we trusted one another. We would talk about our families, ourselves, our future, our dreams. We would talk about boys. What would it be like to be married, to have a husband? And what if we did not marry? What then? We were friends. We would look out for each other, no matter what. That was love. We loved each other. We were devoted to each other. That was love. When I was older, this man chose me. He chose me to love. And I chose him. And he would talk with me, and he would tell me his thoughts, and he would tell me his future, the plans he had. He would tell me his dreams, and before I knew it, his future, his plans, all his dreams, well, they became my future. My plans, my dreams. That was love. That was love. One day, something happened. Something big. I told him. I told my family. And then, oh, I heard the whispers. I felt the stares. I knew the shunning. The shunning was the hardest. The pain, confusion. What do I do now? But this man, who had promised, This man had been called of God to keep his promise, and that is what he did. My Joseph kept his promise to me, to us. But what was to happen? What about this child? This child, what were we to do? This child that was given to us, we did not know what was ahead. And yet, when that child was born, oh, the love. Where did that come from? The love we had for this child. I love that child beyond my life. And Joseph also, we love that child beyond life. There was nothing like that love I had never known before. And I thought, what of the father? What of the father who had given us this child? Did he love his son less? I think not. I think he loved his child more. He loved his children more. But could I have done what he did? Could I say, this child that I love, could I say to you, here, take. What do you, could I give him to you? Could I give him? I know this. That is love.
In your notes, for God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting eternal life. And God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. God's love is what Christmas is about. It's the extent and the expression of the love of God. God loves us. Here's what love does. Here's what love did. Here's God's love. First of all, God kept his promise. God had promised from the very beginning with Adam and Eve that there would one day come a Messiah, a Savior. Luke chapter 1, verse 67, his father, Zechariah, this would be the father of John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the loyal line of his servant David, just as he promised through the holy prophets long ago." It had been years. Israel had not heard anything. And suddenly, here's God. Now, Israel was looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a Savior. The problem was, they thought he was going to come and save them from the Romans. They did not think he was coming to save them from their sins. They were looking for someone who would militarily set up a kingdom and establish it, and they would once again be the nation in charge. They did not think that he was coming to establish his kingdom, an invisible kingdom that would reign forever. But God kept his promise. And sometimes we're looking for the wrong thing, aren't we? But God in his love said, look, I told you I would come. I told you I would do this. Love always keeps its commitment. Love always keeps its promise. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he had preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. The great thing about God's love is this. God's love is different from ours because here's what makes it different. God always keeps his word, doesn't he? Now let's be honest. You and I don't always, do we? Sometimes we have said, I'll love you forever, and we don't. Sometimes we said, I'll never hurt you, and we do. But God always keeps his word. Whatever he says he'll do, whatever promise he makes, he will always keep it. That's the love of God. Secondly, God has a passion for us. Well, Pastor, I guess God did that. I mean, he had to. He's God. He has to act like that. That's just the way it works. You know, I get it. No, you don't. I don't think any of us understand how passionate God is for us, how much he feels towards us, how much his emotions play into us, how much God cares for us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Do you know that God is just as more excited about you than you're excited about him? Do you know God wants you in heaven probably more than you want to be there? And I really want to be there. But God is passionate for us. He feels for us. The Bible tells us over and over again how much he relates to us, how much he understands our issues, how much he understands our hurts, our fears, our pains, our joy, how much he cares about us. He is compassionate for us, and he has great passion. He loves us. Love has to have passion, doesn't it? Okay, I'm not feeling the love right now, okay? Love has to have passion. I'm passionate for this. You see, love doesn't just kind of casually walk along. Love is passionate. And God has great passion for you and for me. Thirdly, God pursued us. He pursued us. He came after you. He chose you. He loves you. He gave. He moved first. You know, I think back to the time where I was smitten by this young lady. Her name's Naomi, by the way. And how I pursued her. Now, the problem is, sometimes when we pursue, yes, guys, you know, sometimes we go into stealth mode and nobody knows we're doing anything. Okay, you'll get that later. Sometimes the pursuit takes different terms, doesn't it? But notice what the Bible says about us. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Let me put that to you in maybe a little different terminology so that you'll get it. Christ showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us when we didn't care. When we didn't care. We were going our own direction, doing our own thing. We could care less about God. But God loves us. You see, you travel around. I was sitting in Myanmar looking at these great people and thinking, God loves them just as much as he loves any of us. People lost, people torn away with the Buddhist religion that guarantees nothing, that kind of live however they want because they believe in reincarnation and think, well, you know, if it's bad now, that's okay. When I die, it'll maybe get a little bit better. Even when you're not looking, even when you don't want him, God still comes after you. And even sometimes when maybe your love for him isn't what it should be, God still comes after you. Do you understand that your entire lifetime, that everyone's lifetime on this planet, God is pursuing you? God is coming after you. God cares for you. He cares for you so much that he said, look, here's what I'm going to do. He kept his word. He's passionate about it. And therefore, no matter what you do or how you act or what you think, God will still keep coming after you. There are some writers who call him the hound of heaven. That no matter how far you run, he sniffs you out. And he comes to get you. And no matter where you go, he's there. And no matter how much you try to get away from him, he's there. And no matter what you try and do to deny him, he's there. There is nothing you can do to keep God from pursuing you. Because God is passionate about us. And therefore, God pursues us. He loves us with an everlasting love. He does everything he can to let you know how much he cares. And whether you turn your back on him or not, whether you accept him or not, he still loves you. He's still passionate for you. He never gets discouraged in your rejection. He always cares. That's the amazing thing about love, isn't it? Love never gives up. That's what love does, right? Love never ends. That's the definition of love according to the Bible. That's what love is all about. God says, look, I'll keep my word. I've told you I care for you. I told you I love you. I told you I'll always love you. And I am passionate about this. I'm not just doing this because I'm God and I kind of care. I'm doing this because I love you more than you understand and more than you know, and I will come after you. And when Jesus Christ was born, when we didn't care, that was God coming after us. I'll send my son into the world not to condemn you. I'm coming after you to save you, not to chew you out, not to tell you how bad you've been, not to throw in your face all your mistakes. I am coming after you because I care. And I'll never stop. Wow. Therefore, God gave us his best present. He gave us his best present. Folks, I don't care what you get for Christmas. The greatest gift you and I have ever been given and will ever be given is the gift of salvation. The knowing that God is willing to forgive me of all my sins and to know that God has saved me and that one day I'll get to live with him forever, there is no greater gift, is there? It's the greatest gift of all. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of the one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Notice again, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2:8, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is the gift of God. God gave us a gift. Now, I kind of relate it to this. this Christmas, the families could all be present. And I've got some grandkids that are really young, a year old, maybe a little over. Don't ask me their exact ages. I don't know. If you want to know all that stuff, you go to Nana, okay? Papa doesn't know those things. I just got a ballpark. They're little. They can barely stand up on their own. And if you move them too fast, they're going to topple and fall down, okay? And they can't say words that you understand, but you still love them, right? And you know what? And I never understood this. We're in the store shopping, and my wife, oh, well, let's get this for this little Isaiah. Let's get this for him. Let's get this for him. I go, he's a year old. He's not going to know. He's not going to care. We can get by on this one. Let's skate while they're young, because when they're old, they're going to cost us more. That's kind of my theory, you know? They're not that old. They don't know. And so get them something a little cheap, and then throw a box at them, and they'll be happy for a while. And, you know, because as they get older, you're going to pay more for them. So, but no, we got to get this, this, you know. And here I am giving a gift to someone who has given me nothing. Right? Nothing. Here God is giving us a gift to someone who is going to give them nothing. Wow. The best gift ever is given by a God who loves us and cares for us. The greatest gift of all, the greatest price of all, given to people who can't reciprocate, who can never come close to giving something in return. And yet, because of his passionate love for us, he's willing to give us everything. What a great God who is willing to give us all. And so God gave us the best present we will ever receive in life. That's what Christmas is about. The reminder to me that I have been given the greatest present ever. Ever. And then to understand that love is permanent. Permanent. He offers to us eternal life, permanent. He will love us forever, permanent. John chapter 1, verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Unfailing love. In other words, it'll never stop. Never. Romans 8:35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's what we know. There is nothing you can ever do to cause God to stop loving you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how great your sin. I don't care whether you're a Christian or not. God will always love you. Now, it's important for us to understand something. Because in the day and time in which we live, and in America today, we have so misconstrued this understanding of love. We have made it something it's just not even close to. And see, our understanding of love today was, well, you know, if I act this way and do this thing and you love me, you'll be okay with it. In other words, we've made love something that you have to do no matter how I act. And you got to approve of it. And you have to understand something. I can love you and not approve of what you're doing. Correct? I love my kids, but there's sometimes I don't approve. Right? Now, if you're a parent here and you say, oh, my little darling, I always approve of what they do, you don't understand love, and evidently you don't know a lot about your kids, okay? And I don't care how you act, God will still love you, but that doesn't mean he approves of your behavior. Love loves even when you don't approve. And we struggle with that, don't we? Yeah, we do. Somebody's not doing something we like, well, if that's the way you're going to be, I'll just leave you alone. That's not what love does. Right? God says, look, I don't care how you act. I don't care what you do. I love you. I love you. I always will. And nothing you can do can ever stop me from doing that. I mean, after all, think about it. He came, pursued us when we didn't care. Nothing's going to stop him from pursuing us. Nothing's going to stop him from caring for us. He loves us. No matter what. Finally, God wants you to participate in his love. What is the one thing that a person in love wants? They want to be loved in return. What does one thing every human being wants? They want to be loved. And God says, I love you, the world, so much that I'm going to give you my son so that you can have life forever. I'm not coming to condemn you. I'm coming to save you. What does he want? God, what do you want from me? If you could hear it, he would be saying, all I want is you. He wants us to love him in return, doesn't he? He wants us to demonstrate his love to him. God created us so he could have a relationship with us. And there is no relationship if it's just one-sided, is it? And so God says, look, I love you. I care for you. Here's what I want from you. I just want you to love me in return. I don't want you just to say you believe in me and go on. I don't want you just to agree and say, yeah, I know God loves me, and then go on and act as you want. I'll still love you, but that's not what I want from you. I want you to love me. And the Bible is very clear about this. How do I demonstrate my love for God? How do I show God I love him? Can I give enough? Can I do something extra? And the Bible very honestly, very openly tells us this. If you love him, you obey him. That's it. You love God when you obey God. When you do things God's way and not your own. That's how you demonstrate your love for God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's what God wants. I want you to love me with all of yourself. I want you to love me wholeheartedly. And then he says, I want you to also take my love and share it with others. Since God loves everybody, he wants us to love people too, doesn't he? You know, that's why we go to Miramar. That's why we do missions, because we love people. We're not selfish. It's just not about us. It's about the world, because that's who God loves, right? Right? Okay. This is the first, verse 38, and greatest commandment. But the second, notice, is equally important. Equal. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. God wants us to participate in his love. He wants us to love him, and he wants us to love others. Christmas is a time that you and I get to share God's love. He gives it to us, we get to share in it. We take his love and give it to others. We get to share his love with other people. You know, the gospel according to Scrooge is a great opportunity. Last night, a couple of our neighbors were here. You just pray, God, touch him, help him. Because God loves him, doesn't he? God loves him. And God loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Christmas, a time to share God's love. It's keeping Christ in Christmas. It's about the love of God. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.